Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You have myself, Tommy Dasilo. You also have...
Ben Vanell. It's episode 111, as prophesied. And I'm in video games heaven.
Oh, shit.
Rhymes are always better when you interrupt them in the middle by saying...
Hold that thought.
Yeah, I like...
Remember how Leonard Cohen always used to, in the middle of a... Well, he was a famous rhymer.
I just think any rhyme or lyric should be checking in with the prophecy at some point, you know? How does the prophecy feel about this?
If there's a prophecy involved, you got to check in. Speaking of prophecies and checking in...
You want to hear a prophecy? My name's Adam Knox, you see... Close enough. Now, rhyme something with prophecy.
Now, I'm going to say that the reason you didn't follow in that rhyme is because the only thing that you could think of that rhymed with Knox was Cox. And you didn't want to do that.
It took until about year 9 before people figured that out.
Right. But do you remember the day? Do you remember the first moment that it happened?
I do. And my friend Pat literally went, "Oh, Adam Knox sucks Cox." We could have been saying that all the whole time.
And what about when he worked out that it was a rhyme? Yes!
Oh, boom! Boom.
We should say that we have not long to go until we finish the show because we all hate each other. We have our live episode happening in Sydney on Saturday, December the 16th at Cake Wines. It's, like a week and a half away at this point by the time people hear this. Geez, it'd be great if we could sell a few more tickets the lead-up.
But yes. Sorry.
Yeah, no, please. If this sort of politeness, you can come and see live. Go ahead.
I was about to check in with the prophecy.
Yeah, I want to hear what the prophecy thinks about this.
The prophecy thinks that if you were maybe considering coming and getting a ticket on the day, just for our peace of mind, book online.
Yes. I know that's how a lot of people live their lives. And look, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I've done that with bands, it's not like I've ever heard the band directly in one of their songs say to me, hey, please just book, just so we know. Yeah. And if they did, then I'd absolutely do it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You never RSVP to a wedding on the day, and this isn't a wedding, so behave differently.
Because at the moment, I got to say, the prophecy is looking pretty roomy. No, the prophecy will be able to stretch out a fair bit at this stage.
People who have booked tickets, though, there's enough that it won't feel awkward, so you should all still come.
Yes. No, the prophecy is that you're all going to have a good time.
It's cool that people have come. We've got some cool stuff planned.
Yeah.
Guests and the big Mario Kart tournament afterwards.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you don't think you're any good at Mario Kart... Doesn't matter, you might still win because that game's bullshit.
Yes.
I think people get how Mario Kart works if they're interested in coming along to this.
I think people can always learn, and education should never be mocked.
I didn't tell you this, I'm planning to bring along my own copy of Mario Kart 8 that I've modded in order to make it into an absolute meritocracy.
No blue shells. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's basically Gran Turismo, but I've painted the car to look like Mario.
Right. A meritocracy. I've modded my Mario Kart to be so everyone wins equally, to every Koopa a shell according to his needs. It's called Marxio Kart.
Not bad.
That was the best one I could do. Yeah. That was the first one I thought of as well, but
Marxio Carl.
There must be a better one. Marxio Carl is better.
84.
I want to see Bowser have like another, you know, so it's like assuming all these kids, these eight that we know and love from Mario Brothers 3 onwards are from one wife. I want to see, has he got, and they're all named, they're like all music based.
Yep.
Or most of them, they were all like classical musicians and Iggy Pop.
Well, they're not
stuff.
Actually his kids though. In the manual, it said they were just like, more like he was a leader of scouts.
Like they're a gang called the Koopa Kids.
Well, even better, we can find his biological kids in a future game.
Well, that's baby Bowser.
Bowser Jr. That,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, Bowser maybe we then still there was like a second marriage. And then there's
what
like.
What are you trying to get to here?
Then there's like Groucho Koopa, Harpo Koopa.
Yeah.
And he's
Koopa.
He's got all these different baby mamas, and he's obsessed with naming things in sets.
Okay.
I like that. I like that a lot. I want to find the baby mamas.
Yeah.
It'll be like Ms. Pac-Man, but yeah. It'll be Ms. Bowser.
Have there been any female Koopa? I think I remember in one of the Paper Marios, I think there was Goombette, who was a female
right.
Goomba.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
But I guess I've always thought of them as being like having very little variation in the appearance between the genders.
Well, that's the weird animals. That's the weird thing Goombas, in Mario. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're like mushrooms.
Yeah.
Mushrooms don't have genders.
Apparently they're not. I saw something the other day
yeah.
that was the Koopas aren't mushrooms. They're based on something else from Japan. In Japan, they're called Karibos.
Right.
And Karibo means something like little dick or whatever. They're not that, but they're whatever they are, they're not mushrooms.
So you don't know exactly what the like word means, acorns. But you put little dick in there just as a placeholder.
Chestnuts.
They do look like chestnuts.
Yeah, they're motherfucking chestnuts.
So they're
chestnuts.
Nuts.
Yeah.
I'm nuts about nuts.
They're fucking wacky as shit, man. Yeah. You got it.
Oh, baby.
But when you said, yeah, you've never thought of the Goombas as having a gender, but then there's that Lady Goomba in Mario Odyssey yeah. that's in yeah. a bunch of the levels where you have to make
well,
the stacks.
Well, you don't know she's a lady. Yeah. She's just wearing a hat.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's but true. She's still...
And her name's Goombette, but, you know, I don't know how Goomba naming conventions work.
Mm.
If anything, that would be like named a woman being named Humanette.
Yeah.
But it is weird when... Like, you turn up as the stack of Goombas
yeah.
and she sees them and goes like, hubba, hubba, like yeah. gets a big heart in her eyes and rewards you for it.
Yeah.
So the implication being there, it's like, these Goombas be fucking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's got her motor running. Like
she's a size queen as well. Yeah. You've got to be over seven Goombas long.
But you can never get on top, otherwise she squishes and goes invisible or disappears. God. I don't think they go invisible. I think they die.
I love my curvy Goomba wife. there is a little bit of gaming news this week
yes.
for us, Adam Knox.
Let's
cross over to the news desk.
Yeah, check in with Mr. News' News Corner.
Hello, it's me, Jason News, chasing the news.
Jason News, that guy from the Jay and Silent Bob movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think the fact that I said a name similar to an actor overshadowed my pun of Jason News chasing the news, but maybe.
Is that a pun?
Yes. It's a rhyme. Leonard Cohen would do it.
Well, you should have checked in halfway through. Just to signal it was going to be a rhyme.
So this sort of happened last week, but we didn't talk about it. I hope we didn't talk about it.
Mm.
Demon's Souls, which was the first of these Souls games,
yep.
came out in 2009 on the PS3. It had one of the big things with it is that it had inbuilt kind of, not multiplayer, but... almost like a chat system
right.
where you would lay down sort of combinations of set phrases that existed in the game.
Right. To like give clues to other players.
Exactly.
Is that it?
So yeah. it'd be like stop here or always roll or whatever.
Right.
And that it was done that way so that Japanese people and people that didn't speak Japanese could interact.
Right.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Right, that's really cool. Yeah.
So that would translate.
So it just automatically translates it over yeah. into... Oh, that's great.
And so people straight away started making little jokes with them and there were little mm-hmm. traditions of you meant to leave
and
this here.
Give me an example of one of these little jokes.
Well, you could say Jason News.
And right, and Jason the News.
It was a character that chased the news
oh,
and
that's
you'd always...
Very
and
funny.
That would,
it is funny.
Yeah.
And but you think so that would translate like, perfectly over into Japanese?
It'd be... Yes, it would.
Jason News' son.
Jason News' son.
That's Japanese for you.
You would put like at the edge of a cliff or whatever, like jump here and stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
I can't
there once
remember.
Was a man from Nantucket. Yeah, <Et cetera>. Yeah. One of those common phrases that they had in the game.
This literally
this dragon
is
big. This game is hard. So fuck it.
This literally yeah. is the prophecy.
Yeah.
And yeah, and you could see the bloodstains of people, which would show you a little replay of a ghost of them, of how they died. They'd mm-hmm. leave a bloodstain when they died. And it was all quite nice, like, sort of stuff, and it was there to kind of help you out.
Right.
Or, like, maybe they'd try and trick you and
yep.
that sort of thing. And there was also online interaction in this really convoluted light world, dark world system where every world had a tendency towards light or dark.
Right.
The more players died, the darker the tendency would get and the harder enemies would become.
Oh.
And the more bosses were killed, the lighter it would become and the better equipment you could get and that sort of stuff.
Right.
So it was like trying to encourage you to work together.
Yep.
A little bit. And like, and it never really worked properly because there were never enough players to make it work properly. And then like, it's sort of like the Metal Gear Solid 5 thing of the nukes.
Right.
That mm-hmm. never panned out the way. Yep. So it's interesting.
So we've cut to the news corner and we're getting a story about a chat system from 2009.
Every piece of news is made more important and impactful if you know about history.
Okay, okay. Great.
History
okay.
repeats.
Okay, okay. 2010, right. What yeah. happened there?
2010. Now we come to a time MGMT are just starting to wane.
Yes.
And Wayne's World is
starting to MGMT.
So it's being shut down. Those servers are being shut down in February. So the game will be missing all those things forevermore. There's been no re-releases. There doesn't look like there ever will be.
Right. And this was just on PS3?
Yeah.
Right. So how active do you think that's been in the last couple of years?
In the last couple, well, they put it up as a free game on PlayStation Plus at one point.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, right. So you can still play it on PS4.
On PS3. No.
Oh, on PS3.
Oh, right.
I don't think there's any way to play it on the PS4.
And okay.
Right.
But people have gone back to it. That series people really like, and it holds up. I played it long after it released, and it still holds up.
Mm.
And I'm assuming in the next couple of months leading up to this, it shuts down in February, people will be playing it more regularly.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. I kind of would have liked to see that be copied a bit more in things like the Miiverse kind of stuff where people can leave messages. But I always found when I got on, there was a lot of Japanese stuff in there. It always did make you feel like, oh, this is kind of a shame because we're all having this shared game experience and we're all playing the same thing, but we can't really communicate about it. But that would be so nice and inclusive to feel like, you know, because you are, there is this shorthand that you're all playing the same thing. You're all having the same experience, but to get over that gap would be pretty cool.
All the other Souls games did it. It's sort of like the thing in Mario Kart where you can say, like, I'm using motion controls or whatever. But all of those ones are fucking stupid to, like, every time I'm in one of those lobbies, I keep just saying, I'm using motion controls. Yeah. Yeah. So everyone thinks, what a fucking idiot.
What's the one I always default to? Thanks and good night or whatever it is. Like the one that says that you're leaving and then you just never leave.
Yeah. So it's kind of a shame because, like, if you play that game from March 2018 onwards, which it's still something that's worth having a go at today if you like those other ones.
It's just missing a big chunk. It's just
missing this element out of it that made it really cool at the time. But, you know, that's time.
Yeah. You often kind of talk about this stuff, Nox.
Yeah.
Or you have previously where it's like any stuff that sits online that is an online community or is an online aspect to a game will eventually go away. That's part and parcel of playing games in this era.
Well, that Miiverse, like you just mentioned, the Miiverse was shut off.
Yeah.
Like a month ago or something. I don't know if we talked about it at the time.
We did. We definitely did.
And that's a shame because, like, in Mario Maker, that was really cool how it would show, and in Splatoon and everything, there were cool things about it. And now, not only is it gone, but I don't believe there's archives of most of this stuff.
I think they did archive it.
Oh, that's
good. I think you could apply to get all the stuff that you had done emailed to.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's nice.
I think.
The Demon's Soul stuff is kind of, because it's so location-based in the game, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, it'll just be gone forever, which is sort of cool in a way of, like, you know, how did the Sphinx lose its nose or whatever.
Yes.
In that sense of, oh, there's a bit of mystery to it and it's a bit of, I wonder what it used to be like here.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also sucks in the way that I wish I knew where the Sphinx's nose went.
And then you put it back on. You
could chug it back on and go, oh, he looks weirder.
It's now. I don't know. I think I don't really interact a lot with a lot of these systems. Yeah. And like just growing up, the idea of like a persistent online community based around a game within the game was just like unimaginable.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
It's just getting rid of that just means it's a normal game in my mind.
Sure, I kind of see what you mean there. And I've never had the thing of that Marvel Heroes game shut down like last week very unceremoniously. Mm. They just kind of kicked everyone out of that office building and closed it. It was an online MMO thing.
But this is the thing that I don't get, like, and I know this is a very simplistic view to take, but it's like, oh, we got to turn the servers off. What's it costing you? Just fucking leave the servers there. Do you know what I mean?
Money. Like,
I'm obviously very much oversimplifying, but in my head, the way it works is it's just like, it's just on the internet and it's just there.
Yeah.
Who cares? Just leave it.
Yeah.
Well, it is like, now that some stuff is like, peer-to-peer and all of that, those things weirdly, even though they're kind of worse at the time, they last forever technically. It's a very strange, well, we did it that for our Patreon episode. We did like the book club thing on Patreon for a certain tier, patreon.com/
Filthy Casuals Podcast.
We did Tony Hawk and you could no longer buy the Tony Hawk HD remaster, which by all accounts was quite bad. But it's just a weird time where, but you know,
stuff comes and goes, and there's weird.
So it feels like that early. I think I've said this in same comparison, early era of film where they just didn't care.
Yeah,
when the film was over, burn the fucking tape. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. And now everything's out on a DVD within about 2 months. Whereas I remember, like, even just
that
VHS, it was a
medium
full
DVD.
But even like VHS, it was like a full year before something would come out, and then there was just that in between period, and stuff would get re-released into cinemas all the time in the '90s because, you know, again, video was like, I guess it was a bit fancy to even have any kind of home media. Yeah. Like
now stuff gets re-released, but they just call it a different name, Bloody Justice League or something.
Uh-oh. You guys seen it? You guys seen it?
No, not yet.
Really? That's surprising.
Yeah. I just heard it was bad enough that I'm like, I'll wait. I'll watch it at home.
What was the really bad one that you liked Batman versus Superman?
Suicide Squad was the bad one.
Yeah. But I liked Batman versus Superman and no one else did.
Lower middled it.
Yeah.
You know, like, sort of the groin area.
Which front or back? Because that makes a big difference.
Very much the back, and inhaling a big whiff of it is what that movie was like.
All right. Well, no, we saw Suicide Squad together with friend of the show who's never been on, Timothy Clark.
Friend of ours.
Yeah,
he's not really a friend of this program.
He's been in the background of a recording.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd love for someone to make like a super cut of his appearances. It's just an 8-second video of him going, why are you in my living room?
Yeah, toilet flushing, a door closing, and we got any milk?
Yeah, we've looked at some of his washing, drying, like in previous episodes. So I guess that's kind of influencing what we're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
In a certain way.
But yeah, the three of us saw Suicide Squad together and unanimously voted it the worst movie we'd seen in like a decade.
Yeah, it was really terrible.
Real disappointing.
Yeah, and again, that made me sort of want to go more.
Well, speaking of comic book movies and those things that they're based on, comic books.
Yes.
Sounds like someone's chasing the news over there.
this won't...
It appears to be getting away from me.
This won't seem like it's about what I just said for a little bit, but then it will.
Okay.
So, you know...
Get him, Jason.
Yeah. You know when you're chasing somebody and then, like, you fake like you've turned left? That's what I'm doing right now.
Well,
I'm going to be in front of them when they turn the next corner.
Yeah. This is like you're chasing someone, but it's in a nightmare where you're in a hallway that just kind of never ends. Do you know what I mean? The end keeps stretching in front of you.
But then we're going to wake up and bloody come all over the sheets because this is going to be a great... Square Enix spoke about Deus Ex for the first time kind of since... Mankind Divided sold quite poorly last year and was quite poor of a game.
Yep.
So it's kind of seemed like that series was dead, which was a shame because I've liked bits of it.
Sure, like the first game was like one of the best games of all time.
The first one was incredible. The second one was pretty good. The third one was pretty good too.
Mm.
And then the fourth one kind of sucked. But somebody from there came out and said, like, yeah, we never said we ditched it. People just started saying that. Like, he seemed quite annoyed with his tone, saying, like, we're just not working on it right now. That doesn't mean we're not doing it.
Right.
And it seems to be in part they're rumoring because they're either doing another Tomb Raider game or more likely working on those Marvel games that are being made but we haven't seen yet.
Right. So those are the ones where Disney kind of came out and were like, we're shutting all this stuff down, but we're making all these Marvel games.
Exactly. The license is open to all these different studios. Everyone fucking do as much as you can. We should have a good one. We're fucking crazy. What's wrong with us?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And so it's either Avengers or Guardians of the Galaxy that it seems like they're working on, which cool.
Sure.
I would love to see. I like those movies.
Yeah.
I haven't really ever been into comic books, but I would like to see good games based on them.
Mm. Yeah.
Superhero games can be good these days.
Well, yeah. The Batman games are fantastic, and I think Spider-Man should be good. But
yeah.
And there's a Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale series.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
But I think the Avengers would be a tough game to make.
Could be.
Like, how do you balance that all out? Like, the games progression of characters and stuff.
Games with focusing multiple characters a lot of the times, especially action ones, can struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. And They should do what they did with the movies and do a solo game for each of those characters and build up to it.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
They tried to release one of those games with each of those movies as they came out, but they're all shithouse.
Yeah.
That was a problem.
Right.
Yeah. I remember the Captain America one apparently was like not as shit as a really shit game. Yeah. but mostly underwhelming.
I bet in a year when like the biggest Avengers movie is coming out, you probably can't go, it's Captain America just or Iron Man, you know, like maybe you have to have Avengers on that box.
Yeah.
Make it a collection of mini games.
Oh. Fuck it, man. I miss WarioWare.
Yeah. Mm.
So make Avengers WarioWare. Last little piece of news. I read some interview, the end, with one of the designers of Far Cry 5. I don't remember who it was, sorry. And the interviewer from Eurogamer kept trying to ask this developer pretty... directly about like the political themes of Far Cry 5, because like after Wolfenstein 2, which was just like, buddy, we ain't talking about the 60s, we're talking about today.
Yeah.
It was just really interesting to watch this person dance around the franchise's boss, Dan Hay, is how they describe him, dance around these very direct questions about...
Is that his name or is that a description?
you went, the franchise's boss, Dan Hay, is how they describe him.
Yeah,
the franchise's boss, and he looks like Hay, and so, I don't know what Dan could mean in this.
Maybe it was
Hay
Dam.
That knows karate?
No, Dam.
Damn Hay.
It's that Damn Hay.
It's that Damn Hay, my favorite movie. Like they keep asking him very direct questions about like, so does this have anything to say about like the alt-right or America at the moment or like the sort of political climate he's in? He's like, well, it's a pretty open world game, so you can go around and you can steal a truck.
The X button is shoot.
You've got to assume that is someone knowing that the alt-right encompasses a shit ton of gamers and just not wanting to not have them buy the game.
Or is it a bit of like going, you know, the Twitters are going to fire up and, you know, they'll try and hack us and all this kind of stuff. But it's weird to – I wonder how much thought is put in when you're developing this and you're going, oh, this is like a cool comment on all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, how much are you thinking in tandem about like, oh, but eventually we're going to have to like market this and it's going to be out there and there's going to be a video and these people are going to get shitty and is that a big part of our audience? Do we care? I wonder how, you know what I mean? I wonder how much those departments are kind of riding alongside of each other or whether it's just like, oh, let's just make the piece of art and just do it.
Well, that's it.
That's the thing that worries me is that maybe this suggests the game will be kind of toothless, which makes this setting suddenly a lot less interesting to me.
I'd be surprised if he'd be dodging questions about a game that is kind of benign in its themes. Then. Surely you'd just be like, oh, you know, it's about some dodgy southern guys who have run drugs and have a cult and that's what it's about.
Maybe.
Like, surely if it wasn't a comment on contemporary America, you just say that.
Or maybe there is also a bit of like they know that there's interest in it if people think it is. So maybe it's like trying to, you know, who knows which way it's going. Like it could be having a bit of both ways.
Yeah. And I'm sure, there is probably an element of like, let's just make people buy the game and they can find out then.
Yeah, oh,
and
make them buy the game.
If they've made a cool setting and a good story and all this stuff that is nothing to do with modern politics, fucking sick, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, sure.
I would hate for it to be in that sort of mucky middle ground where it's like, man, Trump's pretty bad, huh?
Yeah.
And just be weaker on both sides of it because they've gone halfway with this.
Kind of like the original Watch Dogs. It wasn't really making a comment on surveillance or the NSA. It was just kind of like hinting at it.
Yes, exactly. If you try and do something that's satirical but get halfway there, that's worse than making something that's not satire or something, you know, like that's the worst case scenario.
Totally.
What would you prefer, this middle ground or the bullshit Grand Theft Auto 5 level of satire where there's a president called Ronald Rump, you know, and he's got...
I would say that Grand Theft Auto 6, Ronald Rump shows up.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that
his fucking shitty wig keeps blowing off. Yeah. That'll suck.
Donald Dump, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's got to have some kind of...
Yeah, sorry, Ronald Rump's too good.
Yeah.
Donald Dump.
That's an interesting question. If GTA 6 came out right now, what would be in their crosshairs? What would they... Oh, they'd be... there'd be so much stuff about being triggered. And,
yeah, yeah, SJWs, and that was the first thing.
It'd be all that most recent South Park stuff, but just done to just, you know, in the worst possible way.
It'd be set in, like,
Papua New Guinea?
No, like Pennsylvania County, and it'd be dealing with the PC police.
Right, yeah, yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, there'd be some woman with like a green ponytail.
Was that worth the stuttering?
That was worth the stuttering.
There'd be a woman with a green ponytail and like big blue glasses. Yeah. Whose name would be like Sarah Jessica Watley or something. So she'd be, it would be so bad. I hope it's 10 more years.
Rockstar, if you need some writers, get in touch.
Some horrific representations of trans people and stuff that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, good Christ.
Yeah, lots of being called a snowflake. Oh, good Lord.
Oh, yes.
Well.
What were we talking about? Like,
we went a bit Black Mirror there for a second.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Anyway,
There's not a huge amount of news other than that, really, because it's ramping up towards the end of the year, or ramping down.
Ramping down, very much, I would say, yeah.
But
well,
that
if you're Santa
matter.
Claus, you're ramping up.
That's
you know,
true.
You, to get onto that roof.
Yes.
To then dump stuff down the chimney.
Yeah.
But luckily, even though news might not happen that so much.
Oh, so the
video
chase
games
is over.
Still, man, I caught it.
He's tucking it out.
I caught the news. And now I've got to take some antibiotics.
This is like an old cartoon where it's like, you know, you're chasing the news. So you're Sylvester chasing Speedy Gonzalez. But what's he going to do when he gets him? You know, we never get to find out.
Yeah, I'd probably eat him. That's why he never gets him. Sylvester doesn't chase Speedy Gonzalez.
No, he chases Tweety.
But he's also in the Speedy Gonzalez cartoons. Who chases Speedy then?
Nobody. He's just
some
running
other...
for his own reasons.
He's not running from he's running from his past.
No, he's
exercising.
Yeah, he just likes to run, doesn't he? I always thought Speedy Gonzalez was
what
just like
these bullshit.
It's the morning, time for me to go.
No. He's got his friend Slowpoke or something.
Slowy Gonzalez.
Yeah, his cousin who taught he I'm not gonna do the accent.
I swear to God. Sylvester's in some of them. Look it up.
I think it's some.
Read a book for once.
Is there a different cat?
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
You reckon it's a different cat?
Jerry, Tom? Tom or Jerry?
No way.
It looks like Tom or Jerry. Oh, okay. Whichever the cat is in Tom and Jerry, it kind of looks like that.
Oh, well, I can't do Sylvester's voice because I'm
suffering
not.
Suffering
fuck a tag. Very good.
Suffering. But it wasn't as. It was more like.
No, you're thinking of Snagglepuss.
Maybe I am.
All right, I've just gone to...
What I was going to say, though, rather than Sylvester the fucking cat,
yeah?
Is that video games are continuing to come out.
Oh.
Such as Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which you pair of motherfuckers have been playing.
Yes.
The cartoon features Sylvester the cat guarding a cheese factory, the international border between the United States and Mexico.
Oh, shit.
They should build a wall.
And Speedy Gonzalez is trying to get the cheese.
Yeah, man. And okay. I just clicked on the concern about stereotypes section, and my phone has now crashed. Yes, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, another game which Sylvester the cat is in.
I think you're wrong again.
I dare you to dispute me. It came out on Friday for the Nintendo Switch. We just checked before we started doing this. I've played... I think just under 3 hours.
Yes.
And you, my good man.
I have played 12 hours and 21 minutes.
A full day.
What?
At the office.
Oh, yes, yes. That's a full day at the office.
Yeah.
And then I sleep for 12 hours and go directly to work.
Now, this is a JRPG. Now, apart from the fact that J stands for Japanese, what is different between a JRPG and just an RPG?
Not that much these days. More of a 90s thing or an 80s thing even.
If anything, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 feels more like a Western RPG in a lot of ways. It feels a lot like the BioWare kind of classic RPGs, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, Dragon Age kind of dealio.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the J in this instant just means it was made in Japan.
They used to be pretty distinct, where in the 90s it would be Japanese RPGs were very turn-based usually. Like had a separate battle screen and all this stuff. Western ones were like isometric Baldur's Gate type thing.
Yeah. That RPG, used to be the... It's such a broad term now though anyway. Like, you know, to me in my head, when I was growing up with video games, RPG always meant turn-based.
Yeah.
And so right. I've always found it weird that like Zelda is classed as an RPG.
Totally.
When, but that, I mean, it's the elements of powering up and talking to people and all that stuff.
In the early 2000s, kind of every single genre of game started using little RPG elements.
Yeah.
Like San Andreas, I remember people were like, oh, it's kind of like an RPG now. Yeah. You get fat.
So, yeah, pretty much you level, well, you upgraded skills in that game.
Got fat.
You were playing a consistent character through
really
a story.
Really pudgy
like,
guy. That's what RPG stands for.
Is getting fat an upgrade of skills?
Hell yeah, bro. That's why I'm so good at shit.
Okay. Interesting perspective. Interesting perspective.
I got 10 charisma, baby. Anyone who says they have 10 charisma, definitely charismatic.
Well, you put all your points into charisma, not in strength or agility.
I've got heaps. I cheated.
Really?
Yeah, on my girlfriend. Because I've got zero charm.
Typically this kind of game, not super my bag, although I've been playing a bit more of them recently, but even the ones that I've enjoyed this year, I still haven't sunk a great deal of time into. Like, I haven't really gone. Persona's still sitting there, which I've enjoyed what I've played, but am yet to kind of, you know, really, really, really invest the time in. In the trailers leading up to it, I was kind of so won over by the style of that and all the rest of it, and you know, just the fact of it being on the Switch, and it's like, okay, well, this is an easy one because I can take it with me and all the rest of it.
Totally. I don't know if you're one of these people, but a lot of people have been like, hey, if you like Breath of the Wild, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is coming out. Get into that one. I don't know if that was something that you were thinking as
kind
well.
Kind of. I mean, it for me, the thing that won me over was just like the bits in the trailers and stuff where you're just in these massive, massive worlds that look so beautifully designed. Mm. Combat-wise, from looking at the trailers, I was like, this looks like the exact opposite of my shit.
Right.
And it will probably end up turning me off, but I'm interested enough in all the rest of it to give that a go.
Mm-hmm.
So I overall at 3 hours really like it.
To be clear, I want to say we're recording slightly earlier in the week this week, so that's why Tommy hasn't had more time. I can just see people tweeting like, Tommy doesn't play games. He does, cunts.
Well,
to the detriment of other aspects of his life.
I dare say that by Thursday I won't have played a single other minute. Now that I've talked about it, it's going to be struck from the roster.
Yeah. You've fulfilled your obligations.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, 3 hours in and I really like it.
Okay.
In spite of quite a lot of things.
Well, I'm 12 hours in and I feel that even more.
Right.
Just that same feeling amplified because I am kind of not addicted. Like I'm really, it's very Moorish.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of aspects to it where it's just like, okay, yeah, I'll just another quest, another thing, another unlock. I've got to get a few more items to get this side quest. I'm just going to, and you just kind of end up like, yeah, like you've seen with the amount of time I put into it, you just kind of end up playing a bit more of it.
Yeah.
That shit really locks into your brain as well.
Yeah.
That's sort of like, here's a list of stuff to tick off.
Totally. Yeah. And it's very like visually interesting and well designed.
So do we want to talk very briefly about the setting and the world?
Yeah.
You play Rex, who's like a scavenger, and the world is set kind of above the clouds and people live on the backs of these huge creatures called Titans, which are like world-sized animals.
What were these guys smoking?
If this had some kind of, what was the game you were talking about before, where you could leave little messages over?
Oh, yeah.
I'd try and put, how high do you guys get when you come up with this shit?
I'll have some of what they're having.
I mean, I know we're above the clouds, but this is, you must have been really high.
Are those clouds or is that bong smoke?
Ooh.
I've got 420 points in being high.
Great. all good stuff.
Yeah, so it's an immediately captivating world. And as soon as I started playing it, you know, all my criticisms of Skyrim, which is that it just felt like a very generic approach to fantasy and very drab.
Yep.
This is like the opposite of that, where it's very inventive and it's very colourful and it's very different. And in those ways, it's all the sort of stuff that I typically love and that win me over in game design or in anything design.
Totally. There's a little Studio Ghibli as well, some of the designs.
Yep.
But I think
I love watching people take a run up on Ghibli. Like, I'm going to say Ghibli this time or Ghibli?
I've looked it up before.
Is it Ghibli?
It's Ghibli.
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 Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, that's good to know.
Nice. Yes. Ben Affleck was great in that.
I disagree.
I don't think he was either. I think he's pretty bad in most things he's in.
Yeah.
I like Ben Affleck. Okay. For the most part, I like
I think that. He's fine. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's one of his generation's greats.
J-Lo, though.
Ooh, she's good.
I call her J-Hi. Because what was she smoking?
Wow.
When she was in Jiggly.
Jiggly.
The absolute maestro.
But so it does look a little Ghibli-ish.
It is a little. Yeah, so what do you think of the combat and stuff? Because I have kind of a bunch of stuff
to say about it. So I'm 3 hours in, and so far, gameplay-wise, I reckon I've played maybe 7 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
At this point, all I've really done is watch a 2.5-hour anime.
Yes.
Now, that I like everything that's going on there enough that that isn't a big deal to me.
Yeah.
But it is... The beginning of it is very weirdly weighted where you are staggered so much where you sort of look like you're being let loose in it and it's like, great.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch this really long movie and then you do a little bit. And it also the way that I'm just up to the point now where the combat is sort of starting to overwhelm me because it really, it paces you really early on where it's just showing you one little thing at a time.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, I sort of see how this works.
Still a little bit too much, in my opinion, those first 2 hours. Still a lot of tutorials.
But then all of a sudden, there's that big, the big battle that happens with you on that ship that you've unearthed.
Yep.
Where you learn about 8 things all in the course of one battle.
Yeah, and none of them really are like so interlinked that it's like a logical progression.
Yes.
It's like, here's the thing on the side, here's the thing up here, and here's the thing over here. And it's time-based and you've got to hit the thing and coordinate this. And
I sort of thought, okay, I'm sort of out of my depth here, but I can probably come back to this. And this seems like it's the extent of it. And then I've just now learned 3 more things, which again...
Yeah.
Seem even less connected to anything than the ones I learned before. And I sort of went, I actually don't reckon I'll ever end up being able to use any of these because I don't really get it. And it's also you can't go, there's no way within the game to sort of go back into the tutorials and kind of refresh yourself. So if you don't get it the first time, you're basically going to have to go look it up on the net or whatever.
Yeah. There's a lot, so I'll say 12 hours in, it's still introducing new mechanics. No exaggeration at all. It is literally still introducing new combat mechanics, new mechanics of leveling up. There's a different kind of character you get in your party that levels up in a completely separate way to any other character.
Right.
And I don't think it stopped. I think there's more that it's going to keep introducing. I still think there's a section of the menu that's still like question mark, question mark, question mark.
At 12 hours in,
So it's... That is the biggest problem.
Do you know
with
this game. This is the difference between JRPG. I think it
feels like the most Japanese part of it is this combat system.
Often in games like Chrono Trigger or the Final Fantasy games, or even some of the more action-oriented ones that aren't turn-based, there will be a relatively complex system, whether it's combat or magic or whatever.
Yeah.
But it will teach it to you in a very thought-out and reasonable way.
Yeah.
And then it will stop. And then the advancements and the intricacies will just unfold through playing the game.
Or through having an in-depth system that just, evolve. It's simple to learn, hard to master type thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is the way that it's telling me things in it is quite clunky, it seems, because you sort of get up to a new area and then it's like, oh, cool, I want to explore this. And it just brings up bulks of text of like, by the way, you're going to find stuff like this on the ground. And it's like, surely I can just pick that up and then that can just sort of come up organically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it so difficult to learn. I haven't played any of this, but I find it so difficult to learn when games give you a big block of text that's completely devoid of context.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
It's often like the opposite of that. It's like you're literally about to do something.
That you already get, kind of.
You're about to do something that you think you already get and then it's like, hey... This thing is new and you can use it right now. And it's like 2 sentences and then you go next, 2 sentences, you go next, there's 2 more. And then it expects you to just know how to do it.
Yeah.
And it's happening in real time. You can't like pause combat halfway through to do your strategy, which you could with games like KOTOR and Dragon Age. You can't do it that in this. Even Final Fantasy 15 you could do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could.
But in this, you can't. And it's more complex than any of those games.
And it's got this, I find it weird that, once you're in combat, you do auto attacks, which sort of, as a player, just feels weird that you're not in control of your character swinging their sword. Like the fact that that's happening automatically.
Yeah, that's sort of like...
sort of makes you feel very distant. I think feels even more distant than being turn-based.
The yes. MMO style of combat kind of thing has become a little more popular. Like Final Fantasy 15 had a fair amount of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like you were basically just holding down a button to auto-attack.
Yeah, you were. Mm. But this is it. This is, yeah, this is Knights of the Old Republic. Hit attack, yeah. And you're attacking this thing over and over right. again.
Yeah.
And then you can do specials with like the different
yeah,
face
so
buttons.
This is what I don't get. So for every hit that you land with your auto attack, you build up these specials,
yeah.
which you can then eventually use.
Yeah.
And then after you've done a certain amount of them,
yep.
you get this bigger special.
Yeah. Which is a quick time event.
Yeah, but then I've learned that there's the combo things off the back of that.
Right.
And I don't get how to make them work.
Neither do I, and I haven't bothered. and I'm 9 more hours in.
But it's a relief to know that even though you don't know how they work, you've still been able to make your way
yeah.
through.
Yeah.
Like, that's my worry, is that I'm going to come up against a battle against something that's so strong that
yeah.
I'm just not going to be able to bluff my way through it.
Yeah, well, I'm in like a whole new area now, and it was pretty tough to get there, and then I've been in this like town and I haven't had to do a fight for a long time, so
right.
maybe I'm gonna find out that I
right.
need
right.
to relearn all this
so
shit.
So is the combat, though, even though it's maybe a little overly complex, it sounds like, are you enjoying it, or is it a chore?
It's a chore.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not enjoying it really.
So everything else in the setting in the world is maybe getting you through then?
It's fine. Like, okay. It's a lot. Everything else is kind of fine. Like, the story is kind of weird and silly and anime-ish enough that I'm into it.
I'm loving the story. Yeah. Like, your setup of your character, like, he's got the right amount of personality for me, for my taste.
Oh, before we go on,
yeah.
Voice language, English or Japanese?
You know what? I started with the English thinking that I would change to the Japanese pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I sort of didn't mind the English because it's so ridiculous.
It's really ridiculous.
So Nintendo of Europe handled all of doing that
right.
instead of Nintendo's America's in-house, which is normally who would do it.
Yep, the localization stuff. Yeah.
And I just find that very funny that the European arm got put in charge of it.
Mm.
And, you know, rather than do what people would expect, which is, I guess, get American actors.
Yeah.
Or
they've just found some Irish guy walking down the street and gone, do you want to get in?
Yeah.
So it's just all these weird...
Do you want to get in and do your own accent a bit poorly?
Yes.
Like, it's not...
The main guy sounds like he's straight out of a Guy Ritchie film.
Well, because yeah. even, like, if I think fantasy, I do think, like, highfaluting British voices.
Right.
And, like,
it's not that.
Crystal, Jeremy.
It's full chav.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like, it's kind of Manchester and Liverpool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I liked for a bit because
yeah.
I just thought it's so incongruous with this incredibly Japanese design and
yeah.
anime story and everything.
Yeah.
But then I just got the language. I played like an hour of it before I came here with the Japanese on.
Yeah.
And I mean, cutscene wise, that's better.
Yeah.
But then you do lose out a lot because when you're in the field,
yeah,
your characters are kind of talking constantly, and it
it's
doesn't
not subtitle,
subtitle any
yeah.
of that, which is a bit of a bummer. But yeah.
I've
got to get the life crystal off of Balthazar the Magnificent.
Pretty
Man,
much
you're
that.
Not, you're not far off.
That's
yeah.
fucking ridiculous. I think
yeah.
that's quite a bad accent that I'm doing there.
You're even closer to this game.
My problem with it was
I switched almost immediately to Japanese.
I was liking it in terms of the cutscenes and people talking, but anytime there was like combat stuff,
yeah.
with the way they'd go "yah" in their English accents,
yeah.
just was done.
Get it up, your son.
Not again. Not
fuck
far off,
you jammy bastard.
Give me a potion, I can heal myself, lad.
Yeah, yeah. It that
Grandpa,
was...
Grandpa, you're a big dragon.
That was the
I'm
bit.
I'm having
I was...
it off the top of this bloody dragon.
That was the bit I was finding most jarring. Was like in the combat, I was like, okay, this sounds silly.
Yeah.
Like the Japanese sounds.
Oasis!
Fine, guess...
Oasis!
They even, like, I think one of them was like, oh, come on, mate, leave it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they
yeah.
used actual English
we'll
slang.
Down, boy.
It was very strange.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But yes, story wise, I'm like, I'm into it in the way that I'm into kind of weirder anime stuff like Full Metal
You're into
Alchemist.
Some weird anime stuff. I've come over too mm-hmm. early to Ben's house sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
the number of fucking screams I hear from in here.
Really?
Yeah. I'm scared by anime, so I scream a lot.
But it's it. Yeah, I mean, I like the little setup of you, this little guy, and he's kind of on his own, and you get picked up to go on this big quest. Like, I kind of, and you're sort of accumulating, you know, a little crew along the way. I really like all that stuff, it's, and the sense of the unknown and these new places that you go to.
Yeah.
And I think that it having just gotten up to like one of the first big major open areas,
it
looks great. That environmental stuff, I think, is if that wasn't there, I don't think I'd be interested in it at all.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I want to do, is just run around in those landscapes.
It is kind of comparable to Final Fantasy 15, and then you mix in a bit of Breath of the Wild and a bit of Studio Ghibli stuff where it's like, massive open areas with weird creatures walking around that you can go and fight if you want to.
Mm.
In this, like, half the time they're not aggressive, so you can just walk past them. Half the time they're big,
because they're just like wildlife.
Yeah. But then you can just target them and fight them if you want.
Every now and then they attack you.
You can walk down the street and fucking kick a dog if you see it.
Exactly. And if you win that fight, you get experience and you get some items.
It's a hell of an experience.
Yeah.
Before we forget, I need to mention the soundtrack is incredible.
See, I like the soundtrack, but I think it's like, it doesn't match. It's not always contextually right.
I love it. I do wish that. And again, maybe this does change, but the combat music so far is exactly the same every time, which is becoming a bit overdone for me.
Yeah. And I've found the music in like the town that I'm in just starts to, you realize where the loop starts again.
Oh, really? Okay.
And there's not a lot of light and shade to it, I've found. It's very bombastic and very cool. It's, you know, like a lot of fiddles and orchestra and like very kind of fits the setting very well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Except sometimes you're just kind of like walking down a street in a town and it's still like diddly 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 diddly, and it's very it's too much.
I've just found everything so far to be so, I don't know, to me it kind of sticks out as having a little bit more kind of personality and stuff going on than a lot of game music, perhaps, of just things I've played of late. But I think I really, really like it.
I think I like it. It's more the implementation rather than the actual writing of the music. Like, the music's great, it just, and I've been playing the Switch again, obviously I've been switching between this and Breath of the Wild, which is just exactly how I would want music or environmental sounds or atmosphere.
Yeah.
I kind of,
it's so stupid to say I wish this game was another game, but it really is a case where every time I get up to a fight, I'm like, I just wish this was like Breath of the Wild, where you could, or just anything where you could mash some buttons for a bit, or even if it was turn-based in the style of something that I just, you know, that I can handle, that I'm equipped to do. Like, the over the top nature of the combat is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, and it's also not even something like Nier Automata, where it's just like holding down shoot and hold down thing and dodge occasionally.
Yeah,
and the spectacle is what gets you through.
Yeah,
this is just kind of a bit tedious.
When battles are happening, it's kind of a mess.
Mm.
There's just so much going on screen that you're sort of just looking at that.
Yeah.
I'm sort of just watching the health bar of the enemy and then watching my little specials, waiting for them to recharge.
And sometimes you like do a move where it pulls out a health potion and it like falls over there, and so you like got to go around the enemy to get it.
Yeah. I kind of wish it just stopped there. Like, if that was the mechanic and that kind of developed within itself, that would be really cool. But the designs, I think the character designs are all great so far. It's very anime to the extent where, I mean, the first female character that you meet is in this big jumpsuit, almost like a clown.
Yeah, that's right.
She's the one you go on the expedition with and you go, okay, this is all right.
Yep.
And then the second female character you meet is running around in her underpants for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Lots of close-ups on the buttocks, and it's like, this is
unrealistically large.
This is
boobs.
A shame,
There's breast jiggle physics. It's just
unfortunate.
And she's also like a character who is like an embodiment of a spirit thing, and so it's like technically she's not even a person.
Well,
so it's
personality
like,
is very kind
hell.
Of childlike again
element.
As well.
Yeah, very fifth element. Yeah.
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 It's all, and I've seen some screenshots from later in the game, and there was a meme going around of like just some ridiculously proportioned women that makes me think it's just going to get worse as it goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, this doesn't need to happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's 2017. Like, it's very lame to say that, but it's like, you should know better.
Yeah.
It's 2005. Get over it.
They what?
Oh, where am I? Who's the president?
Are you back in the news archives leading up to a story?
But yeah, all that said, I mean, I still am enjoying it. Like, I like it. I like a lot of what it's doing.
I think it's fair to, like, there's other stuff. There's no actual proper world map where you can see where everything is and find where you are and move around. Mm. There's more. Like, there's a lot of really easy fast travel stuff that's integrated from the start, but the sense of the world and where you are is very poorly handled.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's not good either. I think, like, the design and stuff
that's
is
true,
all good, but
something where this world setup is so great, of like, we're in the clouds and there's all these beasts that we're on the back of.
Yeah.
It would be great if there was a bit more context for where they all are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's such a strong point of the story to kind of gloss over and do nothing with, is such a missed opportunity.
Yeah. I think, like, the design is cool. I think I feel this way about most of the stuff except the combat, which I really don't like. But, like, most of the stuff is, like, pretty cool and reminds me of other stuff that I like a lot more.
Yeah.
But it's just not quite as original or as cool as all that other stuff.
Right.
Right.
This game sounds fine.
Yeah.
Or a little bit under fine, mate. I don't know.
I think it's fine. I think maybe it's a little bit more than fine, because if you combine all of these things that are pretty good, then that's still pretty good.
Yeah.
It doesn't make them all progressively weaker. It's just a lot of things that are pretty good.
It's probably just down to, like, the difference in what I've consumed, whereas you're saying it reminds you of things that you've played that you like a bit more.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't played any of those things.
Yeah.
So those bits that I'm liking, they're fresh for me.
Yeah,
so
it's
that those good bits are resonating for me a little bit more.
Yeah.
Here's a question I'd like to ask. I think I know the answer to this, but you don't need to have played any of the other games, do you? Okay, because
you don't even have to read anything about. Like, I just went in blind.
Because there's a weird number of them that are all in strange different things that I've never played any of them.
I think it's even separate from the previous Xenoblade Chronicles.
It is. And part of me is tempted to go, all right, well, I'll watch a couple of YouTube tutorials or whatever of how to get my head around the combat, and what if I just kind of make myself learn it and get really good at it?
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'll start to love it, like, because I do, I'm interested in where it's going and everything.
Yeah. It's just, it's not even just the combat. There's, like, you're a salvager, so some of the ways that you get items is by jumping off a pier and timing a quick time event properly.
So I get all my items.
Just dive into the bay. Yeah.
I've got three broken mobile phones, a pair of boxer shorts, a tire, a sarcophagus.
And a fish skeleton.
I dug very deep that time. A human body.
Yes.
A boat.
Is this just your Christmas wish list that you're reading out right now?
I go to amazon.com/Adam. No, don't, because we don't have Amazon over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
If you go to amazon.com/Adam, you'll be buying presents for some dick.
Ooh.
Worth pointing out that I think of any Switch game that's come out, it's the one that suffers the most when going into handheld mode.
Oh, right.
I have only played it very briefly in handheld, but I've seen that mentioned a lot in reviews that it...
Right. As in, like, you have to squint to... Like, it seems like quite a...
I think... No, like,
It is downscaled a lot.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of games have a bit of... here and there, but it really takes a hit.
Yeah, that's interesting. A lot of the games that I've played on a handheld have looked better because they are squishing down a big resolution.
Mario Rabbids looks really cool.
Mario Kart looks amazing.
Mario Kart looks great. Obviously, a lot of the indies on that crisp little screen. When they're more simplistic graphics. But this for the scale of it and the... it just looks a bit craggy around the edges. It loses a lot of that kind of crispness. Like, not just that it's smaller and squished down, but it actually is downscaled quite a lot.
So, what else? There's the kind of items and item collection is a bit weird, but... I guess the reason I'm still playing it is, like, it's very Moorish, like I said, and the combat, while it's kind of tedious, it's easy, and I kind of am getting the hang of the systems.
Yeah.
It's just that everything has, like, seven too many complexities added onto it.
Yeah.
And I guess if I keep playing it and they become second nature, then great.
Yeah.
But if they don't, and if it gets more complex, then I don't know if I will have the patience to
It'd be amazing if maybe half the stuff just wasn't in there. Do you know?
Totally.
If you just, like, got in, like, I just love this world so much. And I'm like, this would be sick if you just, there weren't that many tutorials. There were maybe half the number of cutscenes and it all just happened a bit more organically.
Yeah.
And if I was just set loose in this world to go for it a bit more,
yeah,
I would be just absolutely infatuated with it.
Totally,
at this
because,
point, I think.
Yeah, I think visually it's really nice. And yeah, the scale, the sense of scale stuff is great. It has a bit of that like God of War Titan stuff where it's like, right. Fuck, I'm climbing up this giant creature. Mm. But also on a micro level, it's all really designed beautifully and the okay. landscapes are great.
Yeah.
The creatures are cool. Like all the creatures that are running yeah. around are like, fuck, that's well designed. There'll be like one that's like level 80 and you're actually up to like level 6 and it's like, fuck, get away from that one.
Yeah.
Go back and get it at some point. So the world stuff is cool and the story's fun and the characters are fun and the music is nice and all that kind
yeah.
of shit. But
yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to play this. It sounds like maybe... Oh, sorry.
You know what it does? It scratches the itch of yeah, your Knights of the Old Republic, Dragon Age kind of RPG.
Right.
So if you like them or if you love them like I did, that's, I think, what you'll get out of this.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Huh. It's been such yeah. a packed year for,
I know.
For
yeah.
games.
Yeah.
Like, I never even got around to Divinity Original Sin 2.
That's right,
which
yeah.
is something I really wanted to, but it's another 100-hour fucking thing, which yeah. this seems yeah. to be as well.
I still haven't played Wolfenstein 2. Like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
But maybe if you're switched up and you're looking for something
yeah.
this could be
yeah.
a Christmas ball.
A yeah. good one yeah a good one over summer with a bit of time
yeah and know? I can easily see this being very subjective. It's like
totally
if you fall on the other side of that line then you could love this game whereas I just kind of like it
right. yeah
or
yeah.
do you think you could hate it if you're not into
yeah yeah, okay. yeah
Kotaku hated it. Kotaku yeah, right. really shit all over it.
Yeah.
Right. And their big takeaway is that it wastes your time. It wastes right. the player's time.
Right.
Which, thinking about it as I've been playing, I'm like, yeah, it's kind of fit. Like I said, all these things where it just throws a lot of stuff at you.
Yeah.
And it's like, this isn't playing a game. This is just reading text and yes. then not being able to implement it. And yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, I guess that brings us to the end of this week's episode.
Cheeky, yeah. cheeky December. Good boy.
You do the catchphrase after he's
yeah, yeah. Guys, thanks for listening. We are going to be in Sydney Saturday, December 16 at Cake Wines. And also support us on Patreon if you enjoy what we do and you like to chip in. We really appreciate everyone who does that. You get to be in our Facebook group.
Yes.
Our little private Facebook group that we're in. And,
which is going
wonderful.
Yeah, going
community.
Strong. Yeah. One of the most enjoyable online communities I've ever been a part of.
Absolutely. So filthycasuals.com.au for tickets to the live show or to get onto the Patreon and all the other stuff that we have. Thanks very much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
more like Donald Grump in GTA 6. That's another option for you, Rockstar.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.